This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Wednesday, October 20th. Good morning and welcome back to Morning Air on the memorial of St. Paul of the Cross. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, coast to coast, across America, here on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app. Every Wednesday, I always make it a point to remind you that Wednesday is the traditional day dedicated to St. Joseph, and it's not too late to honor him, especially in this year of St. Joseph. And also remember that every day is a blessing, so make the most of every day that we are given. Now, in the upcoming month of November, we remember the holy souls in purgatory, our family and friends and loved ones who have passed from this earthly life. Join us here on Relevant Radio, November 2nd through the 10th, as we pray a novena for your departed loved ones during daily mass, during the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, and the Family Rosary across America. All you have to do is go to relevantradio.com/souls to submit your list of departed loved ones. We'll gather to pray a novena November 2nd through the 10th during Holy Mass at noon central here on Relevant Radio, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy at 3 p.m., the Hour of Power with my good friend Drew Mariani, and also the Family Rosary across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. central, both on the air, the Relevant Radio app, and of course at relevantradio.com. Again, just go to relevantradio.com/souls to submit your list of departed loved ones. And now I want to bring in my partner and colleague, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, you're always plugged in. What's going on in the news? What are some of the stories we need to be keeping an eye on?
Well, keeping an eye on and keeping in prayer is what a lot of folks are doing, John, about the situation in Haiti with those 17 missionaries kidnapped over the past weekend, being held now for $17 million in ransom. This group of 16 Americans and one Canadian includes a baby, about five kids amongst that. And I tell you, that's only part of over 100 kidnappings this month alone in Haiti. There's gangs kind of run the place in many parts of the country there, which has been very impoverished after earthquakes and hurricanes and kind of tough going anyway. But the gang that kidnapped them wants $17 million in ransom. So folks continue to keep that in prayer and know that that type of situation, sadly, isn't that uncommon there. So that's one of the tough things. But then we also at the same time maybe celebrate baseball this time of year.
Absolutely. Finally, Glenn, I was able to actually watch the end of one of the games. As you know, I go to bed really early to be up with everybody first thing in the morning. And last night I was able to see a dramatic ending in the National League Championship Series, Game 3 at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. The Dodgers came from behind. They pulled it off. Huge 6-5 win over the Atlanta Braves. Cody Bellinger with a 3-run shot and Mookie Betts with the game winner as heard on TBS.
And a pitch to Bellinger, and a fly ball to right center field. It's well hit, and it is gone! A 3-run home run for Bellinger. We've got a new game. It's tied at 5 on a 1-2 pitch. Bellinger hits it out. Betts with a fly ball to right, and it drops in for a base hit. It's going to roll to the wall. Taylor scores. Betts is at second base. The Dodgers with 4 in the 8th now lead the Braves 6-5.
Glenn, I think some of the Dodger fans have forgotten the immortal words of Yogi Berra, that baseball doctor Hall of Famer used to say, it's not over till it's over. Some folks were leaving the ballpark when all of this was going on.
Yeah, I'd go home in the seventh inning. It's just a couple runs difference. But the Dodgers making it a series now with the Braves up 2-1. But exciting finish for Dodger fans there. And then in the ongoing saga of late night TV, right? The American League game in Fenway Park ran pretty late last night. And it was 2-1 Red Sox for most of the game until it was tied up by the Astros in the eighth inning, and then, oh my goodness, I didn't even stay awake for all of this one, but we missed, John, both a big ninth inning. Houston scored seven times with two outs in the ninth, and they beat the Sox 9-2, game five in the ALCS. Comes up this afternoon.
Much like in our spiritual life, it's not over till it's over. You got to run it out. You got to play till the last out. And obviously, the Astros did that. So it'll be interesting this afternoon in Fenway, game five between those two.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Been a couple great series.
And we've been keeping an eye on it all along. As always, thanks so much, Glenn.
Sure thing, John.
We begin every hour giving thanks to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life and of relevant radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of relevant radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit whenever we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Coming up shortly, we'll talk about the life of St. Paul of the Cross, whom we honor today on his memorial with Father James Wallace, the pastor of St. Paul of the Cross Parish in Park Ridge, Illinois, in suburban Chicago. And a little bit later, at the bottom of the hour, Professor Harry Kramer, professor of management and strategy at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management, will explain the words from the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, "Seek to understand before you are understood." We'll talk about the importance of understanding others. Plus, we'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner, all that and more this hour here on Morning Air. As always, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Colossians 3:17. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." St. Paul reminds us that it doesn't matter if you're a lawyer, doctor, a mother, or even a Major League Baseball player. Whatever you do, if you do it for Jesus and his glory, you're on the right track. In fact, there's Catholic ball players who play and compete for an audience of one. That is, they compete not just to impress the crowd in the ballpark or the audience on television, but they do it for the Lord. You too can do it for the Lord. You can sanctify your work, whatever you do, if you do it for our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And we always finish praying with great confidence, "Jesus, I trust in you." Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. As I've been talking about, we mentioned last hour, today is the memorial of St. Paul of the Cross here in the Catholic Church. Who was this 18th century Italian layman who became a preacher of such power that even hardened soldiers and bandits were seen to weep? What can we learn from the founder of the Barefoot Clerks of the Cross and the Passionists who preached about Jesus crucified? Now joining us is Father James Wallace, the pastor of St. Paul of the Cross Parish. He serves as a canon lawyer for the Archdiocese of Chicago, dean in Vicariate II, and professor of canon law and spiritual director at Mundelein Seminary. Father James, welcome back. Good morning. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us this morning on this memorial of St. Paul of the Cross.
Amen. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me again.
Father James, I got to say that for me, it's very uplifting to see all the school children from St. Paul the Cross School at Mass every Tuesday, right across the street here from our studios. The place is standing room only every Tuesday.
Amen to that again. Yeah, I think our patroness would be proud to see all these kids in church worshiping God, and in the beautiful St. Paul the Cross Church is this amazing crucifix, and so they're all looking straight forward to the cross that Paul dedicated his life to. So, yeah, it's a beautiful sight.
Well, Father James, tell us about St. Paul the Cross. Who was he, and if you can give us just a little thumbnail sketch on his life.
Sure. Like you said, he was 18th century. He died in 1775, Italian mystic priest, founded the Passionist Congregation. Came from a large family, pretty ordinary, standard background. but felt a call early on to give his entire life to God. He debated early in his life, did he want to be a hermit or did he want to be a little more active in the world, that is, you know, preaching the word and serving people, or did he want to be more reclusive in the fostering the contemplative spiritual life? And he ended up doing both. So he was kind of the Martha and Mary from that gospel, doing both quiet contemplative prayer, active preaching, missionary work. So he founds the Passionist Congregation that takes the unique fourth charism of not just the evangelical councils, but preaching Christ and Him crucified, like his namesake Paul did. Went around the Italian countryside preaching missions to various towns, converting souls, and demonstrating the primacy of the love of God through the cross. That was his main goal. It's all about the love of God, and we know God's love for us most acutely when we see the cross, when we reflect on His passion. Like John 3:16 says, you know, God so loved the world that He gave His Son, and gave His whole life. St. Paul the Cross did, and here we are, you know, whatever, hundreds of years later, is with parishes named after him, and a good religious congregation devoted to him, and many other good works that he promoted.
And Father James, you who have a heart for sharing the gospel and for preaching, you could surely appreciate St. Paul the Cross, who was described as a prolific preacher. He preached with such power that even soldiers that had hard hearts and criminals, bandits, would weep when they heard his words. What do you think made him such a powerful preacher?
Well, like I've said before, it's his prayer life. I mean, prayer, your own relationship with God is your material, more or less. That's your source for preaching. Paul's heart was completely on fire with love for God, and that was the fire that spread from his heart through his mouth out to the hearts of other people. He didn't really have an intense formal education. We find this in a lot of the saints, like Catherine of Siena and several others that were either like self-taught. Saint Therese of Lisieux is another one. But his education, his knowledge came from his own prayer life, spending hours in silent prayer with the Lord. And that's, I think, because he loved God so much, that's what people felt and saw and heard when they heard his words. They wanted what he had, that a heart on fire for love of God. His congregation, you know, he would spend basically 3 months, I was saying this at Mass this morning, he'd spend 3 months in quiet contemplative prayer, and then he'd go out for 3 months preaching, walking the countryside barefoot, like you mentioned, carrying a cross in his hand, doing the missions, and then he'd retire back to the monastery and pray again for 3 months. In fact, they called their monasteries retreats for that very purpose. It was like being on a three-month retreat in quiet prayer, just reflecting on the Word of God, that would fuel him up to go back out.
Our guest this morning, Father James Wallace, the pastor of St. Paul of the Cross Parish in suburban Chicago in Park Ridge, Illinois, talking about the life and the feast of St. Paul of the Cross. Father James, you talk about his prayer life of St. Paul of the Cross. In fact, I understand that for him, the crucifix was described as his book and the crucified Christ as his model. I mean, in other words, all he needed was that beautiful reminder of the love of our Lord on the cross. That's what inspired him, and it's really moving when you think about it.
Absolutely, he had that vision early on, which led him to ultimately found the congregation. He saw the Sacred Heart of Jesus with the cross and the three nails at the bottom of it, and then the words, "The Passion of Jesus Christ," and that's the Passionist emblem that they wear on their black cassocks, that Sacred Heart with the cross and the Passion of Jesus Christ, Jesu Passio Christi. And he just, seeing how much God loved us by giving his Son and dying for us, he died for each one of us. I mean, we hear that a million times right in our minds, but to let that sink into the depths of our soul and the impact of that, that's what motivated him. And we can only let that impact our hearts by spending time with the Lord in prayer. Paul DeCross also was, I mean, he was a great preacher. He obviously was a great leader founding this congregation. He was also a great spiritual director, and this may be like where I most resonate with him, because that's probably my most impactful, meaningful ministry that I do as a parish priest is spiritual direction, directing souls to the heart of God. We have 2,000 letters of St. Paul of the Cross basically on spiritual direction that he wrote to directees or other brothers or sisters in the congregation. Just beautiful insights into God and insights into theology and the spiritual life. So he was a real spiritual director, a true spiritual director at heart.
In these letters, what was the main theme that you may have run across that St. Paul of the Cross had in his writings?
Well, so he's basically got three goals of his spiritual doctrine, and they're not that complicated. I mean, the first is to rest in the heart of the Heavenly Father, immersion in the infinite ocean of divinity, he called it, and then union with God. So again, rest in the heart of God and the Father, be immersed in the infinite ocean of divinity and union of your soul with God. So whatever can lead you to the union of your soul with God, to rest in the heart of the Father and to be immersed in the things of God, you do that, whether it's praying a certain way or eliminating certain things in your life that take you away from rest in the Heavenly Father. I mean, that's still applicable, I'm sure, today. All of us who are pulled in a million different directions have all these temptations that pull us away from God. That's the heart of his spiritual doctrine. I know it sounds very simple, but it's really when you apply it to your spiritual life, it can actually be quite profound.
Absolutely, and the saints could take simple concepts and make them very profound, very deep, and these are just basics concepts of friendship with God, which at the end of the day is really the goal of the spiritual life.
Right. He and Paul, like his namesake, his moniker, he wasn't without suffering in his life. I mean, sometimes we think the saints just like smooth sailing all the way through. I mean, it was hard for him to found the congregation. He obviously inflicted physical pain, you know, walking barefoot throughout the Italian countryside upon himself. But he said this in one of his letters. He said, "Pray for me because I am in a terrible abyss of tempests with water up to my neck. But I remain fastened to the safety plank, the Holy Cross, and I hope not to be wrecked." So to me, that's beautiful. Like when you're faced with temptations or you're suffering, you're in pain, whatever it might be, what did Paul do? He didn't indulge those temptations or, you know, woe is me and, you know, I'll just go eat a chocolate cake or something. No, he clung to the cross. The cross was his safety plank as he was floating in this abyss of tempest. I think a lot of us who face suffering in our current age can learn from Paul by just looking to the cross, holding on to the cross, gazing upon it. That'll get us through the ocean of tempests.
And Father James, it seems to me like St. Paul the Cross was highly influenced by the epistles and the writings of St. Paul the Apostle, because obviously St. Paul, you know, he preached Christ and Christ crucified, and that was such a big part of his message as well. So it's almost like you see a St. Paul-like qualities many generations later.
It's incredible, isn't it? When you see, I always said that, it's kind of a ripple effect. With saints, like the Thereses is another great example. Teresa of Avila, who we celebrated her feast day a couple days ago, and then the ripple effect of her is Therese of Lisieux and Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And you could find all these other Saint Thereses that are rippling out, and same with Saint Paul. Paul of the Cross from Saint Paul himself. You have other Saint, you know, Paul the Sixth, for instance, Paul the Fifth, so forth. What did Saint Paul himself say? It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I think Paul of the Cross took that as his motto.
Powerful, powerful words. Father James, you are a blessed priest to be in a parish named after St. Paul the Cross with that beautiful crucifix high above the altar where you can continue to pursue your ministry as a spiritual director, as a preacher. Talk about your parish here in the final moments and how St. Paul the Cross Parish is honoring its namesake.
Yeah. Well, prayer, right? Just simple. Again, the book to holiness, the playbook isn't all that complicated. It's time with the Lord in prayer and reflecting on divine spiritual things. That's what Paul himself did, and I mean that's what I tried to see myself doing as his successor, just to help people focus on the cross, to focus on the love of God, open their hearts up to receive this fire of love. Because I know when we receive the fire of love of God, that's not only going to set our hearts on fire, but it's going to set the hearts on fire of people around us. That's what Paul is able to do. So having this parish, St. Paul of the Cross, fundamentally be a school of prayer, a parish where hearts are set on fire for God, I guess that's my only desire, my only goal here.
Well, Father James, I truly appreciate you coming on with us. I know you have Mass at St. Paul the Cross Church here momentarily coming up at the top of the hour, so I appreciate you taking the time here before Mass.
My pleasure.
To talk about the life of this great saint and the namesake of your parish. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Appreciate it.
We'll see you in Mass. Father James Wallace, pastor of St. Paul the Cross Parish in the Archdiocese of Chicago in Park Ridge, Illinois. We need to take a break. When Morning Air continues, Professor Harry Kramer, professor of management and strategy at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management, will be with us to talk about the importance of understanding. He'll explain the words from the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, "Seek to understand before you are understood." Stay with us. Do not change that dial. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues after this timeout.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
Coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
One minutes after the hour as Morning Air continues here on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app. Welcome back. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And coming up a little bit later this half hour, we'll have another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. Now, have you ever been involved in a heated discussion that becomes an argument and you say, "I don't understand where you're coming from"? How much do we even try to understand other people's perspectives these days and where they're coming from? Maybe we can learn from the playbook of St. Francis. And one of the lines of the famous St. Francis of Assisi prayer, "I seek to understand before I'm understood." Joining us now with more perspective on understanding others is our regular contributor, Harry Kramer. Harry's a professor of management and strategy at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management and is an executive partner with Madison Dearborn Partners, one of the largest private equity firms in the United States. Good morning, Professor Harry. Great to be with you once again. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk about this interesting issue.
Always great to be with you, John. Always great.
Professor Harry, first of all, why do you believe that that we've become so polarized as a country? What is the issue that is driving such a division and polarization?
You know, my opinion, John, and remember, I always say no answers, opinions. I don't do Q&A, Q&O, question, opinion. I actually believe, John, it's the fact that many people now, rather than taking the time, as you just said, from St. Francis, to seek to understand different perspectives, they have their media outlets, their social media, almost like an echo chamber, where they hear sort of what they want to hear, and often don't even realize there's another perspective. Because what they hear is just the consistent stream of exactly what they choose to hear, and this happens to a lot of people without even knowing it.
Wow. Yeah, that is so true. There's no question about it. In fact, if you think about it, people who watch certain networks, that's the perspective they get. They get nothing else. They don't deviate. That's what they're being fed every single day. On the other hand, there's people that watch other networks and they get a different perspective, totally different sometimes, totally opposed to what they're seeing. And the question is, do we even make an attempt to hear what the other side has to say? You know, I think it's kind of like being a Cub fan and a Cardinal fan. You know, if you only watch the Cubs' perspective, you're only going to hear the Cubs' perspective. You'll never hear the St. Louis Cardinals' perspective.
That's actually a great analogy, John. It's a great analogy. When I was a child, sometimes my dad on the old black and white TV would put the radio above it, and what looked like a routine ground ball for the Cubs, they would talk about like it was heroic, and then you know the Cardinals would make some unbelievable catch, routine down ball down to Lou Brock. I mean, it was amazing how people, if you're not really careful, you can end up becoming a victim of just one side of the story.
I'm just chuckling because I'm thinking of like Harry Carey, who was so sensational, it's and a sensationalist. Sometimes he would make a routine, a ball, a hit ball back to the pitcher. Holy cow, the good Lord wants the Cubs to win. Holy cow. I mean, he was amazing, so you hear that on the Cubs broadcast, but then you hear it on the Cardinals broadcast. You're getting, hey, that was a routine ball. He should have made that play.
Exactly. And of course, John, the reason I'm laughing is, in sports, I can almost accept it. Okay, fine. But in real life, on major issues, on things that impact the entire country, entire life, exactly the same thing is happening. That's what scares you. And you look at the country right now. We're blessed to be in, such a phenomenal country. But you look at what's going on, and you look at the complete polarization that's occurred. It's has an enormous impact on the country.
Without a doubt. I mean, all you got to do is look at a few basic issues, the COVID vaccine mandates that are going on, the issue of life, the issue of abortion still alive here after almost 50 years, the issue of religious liberty. I mean, issue after issue, there are people on one side of the fence and there's people on the other. And it seemed like nobody tries to make an effort to see the other's perspective.
Exactly. And what ends up happening, John, is I look at the situation and I say, no matter what the issue, you think about what's happened, John. I mean, and it's almost so slowly happened that I think a lot of people haven't even recognized it. You remember that old story where they'll say, you put a, you throw a frog into boiling water, supposedly it like jumps right out, but you put it in the cold water, you turn the heat on, it never leaves. And what I find so remarkable is that we've reached a certain point now where, maybe 10 years ago, you could have one view and I have another view. Well, okay, I respect your view, I understand your view, and I still like you as a person. Well, gradually we've gone from, well, I like you, to I dislike you, to I hate you, to I gotta stop you because I can't even allow you to have that belief. It's remarkable, John, and it's something that, I think we as Catholics ought to do everything we can to help that situation.
Absolutely. What has been, Professor, your experience of actually listening carefully to what people say and why they're saying what they're saying?
So the way I constantly look at it, John, is I say, let's just say there's an issue, and you think we ought to go north, I think we ought to go south, okay? Well, three reasons I want to really listen to why you think it's north. One, I think that's the values-driven thing to do. When Christ says, love your neighbor as yourself, I really want to treat you the way I'd like to be treated, number one. Number two, you think it's north, John. I think we ought to go south. I truly, truly want to understand exactly why you think it's north, because if I listen carefully, if that actually makes more sense than what I thought was good at south, I'm just going to say, hey, John, forget what I said. Let's go north. Why? Because as a leader, as a person, I have no need to be right. I'm trying to do the right thing. And number three, John, you think it's north. I think it's south. I listened very carefully. And now I'm even more convinced that's wrong. I think because I took the time to take notes, I took the time to listen, I actually think you may listen to me, and maybe I could convince you of what I believe. And interesting, when I first started teaching, John, I said what a value-based leader does is take the time to understand the other side. And then I realized one very smart Northwestern student said, well, Harry, does that mean there's only two sides to the story? And I thought, whoa, there's multiple sides to the story. Okay, so this whole idea, and I repeat it every day, St. Francis, you started it off with that. I literally will take the time to understand before I'm understood, because I don't want you to say to somebody, well, you know, Harry doesn't understand. Oh, no, Harry understands, and here's why Harry disagrees. Here's why Harry thinks something else makes sense.
Professor Harry, do you think that in this day and age we have forgotten the art of listening? You know, the old saying, God gives you two ears and one mouth, so you should listen twice as much as you talk. Have we forgotten how to listen to others and what they have to say?
I think we absolutely have, John. I think we absolutely have. And every time I'm serious about this with students, or I'll be coaching teams or companies, executives, I will always go through this, John. I don't know if you've thought about this, but when somebody says, if you and I are having a discussion and you say to me, well, Harry, I don't understand where you're coming from. I don't know if you've thought about this, John, but think about those words very slowly, right? I don't understand. It almost makes you think that they want to understand, but they really don't. I mean, they're letting you know they disagree. So lately, John, and you can try this yourself, lately, whenever I hear somebody say, I've been doing this the last couple of months now, I'm driving people crazy. When somebody says, well, Harry, I just don't understand, I literally stop and say, John, would you like to understand? Because if you'd like to understand, John, I'm happy to explain it to you. Now, you may disagree, and that's okay, but I don't think it's a healthy idea for you to be walking around saying you don't understand. And one of the reasons I don't, John, is because I've convinced myself that if I say to you, I don't understand, I almost think that's ignorant. If I take the time, I can understand. I'll be respectful of you. I'll show that I love you and care about you and want to know your view. And then I'll decide, do I agree or disagree?
How do we balance, Professor Harry, objective truth in a world of relativism where it's my truth and his truth and her truth? How do we balance that with being understanding?
So the way I think about this, John, and this is why I always say opinion, not answer, I think the first step in all of this is literally to make sure that you understand all sides of the story. And then you can kind of think through, okay, what really is the truth? And, you know, you said it on one dimension where, you know, there are some people, if they get their news from, say, some far-right perspective, okay, well then you better understand and get some of the news from the far-left perspective and balance it out. I mean, if I think of a media, I say, at least in my case, I would say opinion. If I look at the New York Times from sort of a liberal perspective, I'll always want to read the New York Times from a conservative perspective. I want to read the Financial Times and the Economist to get sort of a European perspective. I want to get as many different perspectives, sit down and talk to some very, very bright people, and then literally say, all right, given all of this, what really is the truth? What really does make sense? You know, what would God be calling me to do as I think about this? But if you only, my grandfather used to tease, John, he used to say, if you only understand your side of the story, life is much simpler, okay? It's when you have to take the time to really understand and appreciate there's reasons why somebody may believe something different. And if you understand why they believe it, and you can help them understand why maybe that isn't the truth, you can have a big impact on people. But that requires you to not getting your information from just one source.
Our guest this morning, Professor Harry Kramer, Professor of Management and Strategy at Kellogg School of Management. We're talking about understanding others. Seek to understand before you are understood, as St. Francis used to say in his beautiful, famous prayer. Professor, you know, the reason I asked you a moment ago about balancing, you know, truth with understanding is because there are certain things that are non-negotiable. For example, like the issue of life, as our bishops have reminded us that it is the preeminent issue of our time. And yet, you know, you're going to hear a lot of different perspectives that just flat out aren't true when it comes to the life issues. And it reminds me of Bishop Sheen, who used to say the truth is the truth, even if nobody believes it. An error is an error, even if everybody believes it. So even though we may know the truth, we still have to be understanding when you hear a different perspective.
Yeah, and the way I think about that, John, is if you take an issue, and again, I always tell the students and executives, I'm willing to discuss anything, even if it's emotional, even if it's very, very, a difficult issue. I think it's really good to take the time to understand why somebody believes something, right? So if you take an issue like abortion, which in my mind, it's unbelievably clear. It is a truth. It is a truth that life is more precious than anything else. And, you know, this whole idea, I've got the right to choose. Well, wait a minute. But if I take the time to understand why does somebody believe that's okay, and you listen to some of the things they say, well, then you can help them understand why some of those things are just not true. Why is it just a fact that once conception occurs, that is a human being? Well, why don't explain that? And we're not taking anything away. And the fact that we want to be fair and we want to let women know we care about them, but this is another human being. And let me explain why. Let me take the time. And if you take the time to understand why they believe something different, then you've got enough information to be able to say, okay, here's why that turns out not to be true. But if you just, all you completely say is, well, I don't understand, very difficult to convince anybody of anything if they don't feel like they're being listened to.
Great perspective, and it reminds me of 1 Peter 3:15. We have to always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within us, what we believe, but to do it with gentleness and reverence, or in other words, for respect for the other person. I want to bring in our listeners. We need to take a short break. Anybody who wants to share their own experience of dealing with other people with different perspectives, with different views, opinions, beliefs, how you've dealt with it, or you might have a question or a comment for Professor Harry Kramer, give us a call 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We got to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Professor Harry Kramer. Stay with us. Much more to come here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day with the issues that matter most. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
48 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks for being with us this morning as we continue talking about understanding others with Professor Harry Kramer, Professor of Management and Strategy at Kellogg School of Management. If you want to jump in, be part of this conversation that we've been having. If you want to share your own experiences of dealing with other people with different opinions and beliefs and different views, our number, again, 888-914-9149. We do have a couple of open lines. 888-914-9149. Professor Harry, welcome back.
Great to be back.
Let's talk about this issue of understanding others. And by the way, I loved your article that you wrote earlier last month. I don't understand where you're coming from, because it has a beautiful photograph of a big sign, a huge sign that says understanding. It looks like it's next to a harbor somewhere. But I think the article really kind of puts it into words.
Well, thanks, John. I really try to have an impact on the students. And one of my very good Kellogg students a couple of years ago literally set up this website, harrykramer.org, where I try to get as many students as I possibly can at different schools around the country to really think through these things. And everybody's busy, John, as you know, and there is this temptation of, oh, well, I'll just check my social media. And I think a lot of people, John, as you know, don't understand. They don't understand that when social media, some of these sources, know that John likes something a certain way, they literally will deliver that to you in a constant stream where it just gets reinforced over and over again, your view, regardless of whether it's true or not. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating what happens. And when I watch young people, I watch young children, impacted by this, that they literally don't realize. So Some people think, oh, the person doesn't want to take the time. I think some people don't even realize that when they're getting a source from one television station or another, that that is only one perspective. And so many things, as you know, John, have the ability to take a look at, you have to really understand. You know, you look at immigration, you look at gun control, you look at topics. Many of these topics are not black and white. All right. There is a way of, okay, how can we find a middle ground on some of these issues of what really makes sense? But very, very hard to do, very hard to do if you only get one perspective.
Well, that's exactly what we try to do here at Relevant Radio day in and day out, try to bring a Catholic view, a Catholic perspective to many of these issues that you just described, because you're not going to get a authentic Catholic perspective out there in the mainstream media, and that's why our mission is to bring Christ to the world through the media. Professor Harry, what should we do as Catholics to improve our relationships between people that have very different views, opinions, and beliefs?
I guess the way I think about it, John, is, and again, I'll just role play. I'll just pretend, you know, that you're not Catholic. Maybe you're not even Christian, right? And my perspective would be, rather than, oh, John, you know, you're a bad person, and, you know, you're not going to be, you know, I don't even want to do anything with you. I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to set an example. I'm going to show you through my life and the way I treat people, the way I listen, the way I go to services. There's going to be something about me, John, that you're going to look and say, wait, what does he believe, and why does he believe it, and how does that have such an impact on his life and how he thinks about things? I always say, often to the students, John, I quote Andrew Carnegie, of a steel industrialist from many years ago. I think the quote goes something like, the older I get, the less I listen to what people say and the more I watch what they do. I think the example we have as parents, as individuals who really care and want to make a difference, we have an enormous impact. Okay, think about parents where, you know, they end up they make sure that every Sunday they're going to Mass with their children, as opposed to, you know, oh, we're just going to drop Johnny off and we'll pick Johnny up after we have breakfast. And it's like, well, Johnny's wondering, what are my parents really doing? I mean, if this is so important, why aren't they taking me to church? And why are we not going every week? Why are they only going once a month? Whatever the topic. And I think through your example sets is one dramatic way. And the other one is, you and I mentioned earlier, John, rather than me just saying, oh, John, you know, I don't understand why you don't believe in Jesus. Why? No, well, what do you believe? And so on. And have you thought about this? And let me tell you why. Let me tell you why this is important in my life. Let me explain to you why this is my whole reason for doing things. And, you know, I find it interesting, John, that even in a secular institution, when somebody says to me, and I get this from students, they'll say, Harry, it sounds to me when you talk about leadership and to be able to run a large organization, it sounds like your religious views are a really, really key part. Can you be a strong leader without having a strong religious perspective? And I say, well, for me, it would be impossible, because it's who I am. It's what I am. So you know what? I'm not sure what it is for you, but this is the way I look at life, and this is important. And all of a sudden, you're drawn to understand, well, why does he believe that? And how does that impact that? And I'm always appreciative, John, that after my classes, I'll always find one or two people that'll say, you know, hey, I haven't been to church, you know, since I was in high school. I'd really love to talk to you. I'd love to talk to you about why this is so important in your life. And I think, my goodness, getting one or two people like that, it makes the teaching for me all the worthwhile.
Professor Harry, in the final moments we have here, just a final thoughts on what we can learn from St. Francis of Assisi when it comes to being more understanding, and perhaps maybe from our Lord as well, of just, you know, living the golden rule.
Yeah, I mean, when I think about how I love to simplify things, I have this habit of really, truly trying to simplify things. And, you know, when Jesus said several times, you know, really there's two things here. You know, you love your neighbor as yourself, you love God above all. And in my mind, if I love my neighbor as myself, I am not going to get into a discussion where all I do is talk. Where I, you know, you and I are in a dialogue, and every time I stop talking and you think I'm listening, I'm just coming up for breath to keep talking. I'm really, truly not listening. Okay. And this whole idea where somebody said, are you listening well? Am I listening to John well enough that he actually feels like he's being heard? Am I really respecting him? Am I taking notes as John's talking? And when I can actually demonstrate that I truly, truly understand exactly what you're saying, I truly care about you, then all of a sudden you start to open up, John, to say, well, Harry, why do you believe in Jesus Christ? Why are you Catholic? Well, once I've got that opportunity, I can have an enormous impact on people. Hard to do if I'm not listening at all, and I'm just assuming, well, you're just going to do this because I'm telling you to do it. I just don't think that's the way a strong Christian operates in my mind.
Well, there's something to be said for asking good questions, which means that you're listening. So all great stuff, tremendous information that you've passed on to us here that I know that you share with your students all the time. I appreciate your perspective, as always, Professor Harry. Thank you so much for being with us. And once again, where can our listeners find your article on understanding?
If they just look up harrykramer.org, and Kramer is, K-R-A-E-M-E-R.org, not only are there some of these blog posts, but there are a lot of the questions to be asking yourself and how you think about your daily self-reflection, your daily self-examination. And, people can shoot me an email there, and I respond to every email if they follow that. So I wish you all the best, John, and I'll talk to you again in 2 weeks, if not before.
Many blessings. Looking forward to it. Thanks so much, Professor Harry Kramer, Professor of Management and Strategy at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management. And now it's time for yet another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Trouble Tree. The carpenter I hired to help me restore an old farmhouse had just finished a rough day on the job. A flat tire made him lose an hour of work. His electric saw quit, and his old pickup refused to start. While I drove him home, he sat in stony silence. On arriving, he invited me in to meet his family. As we walked toward the front door, he paused briefly at a small tree, touching the tips of the branches with both hands. When opening the door, he underwent an amazing transformation. His tanned face was wreathed in smiles, and he hugged his two small children and gave his wife a kiss. Afterward, he walked me to the car. We passed the tree, and my curiosity got the better of me. I asked him about what I had seen him do earlier. "Oh, that's my trouble tree," he replied. "I know I can't help having troubles on the job, but one thing is for sure, troubles don't belong in the house with my wife and children. So I just hang them up on the tree every night when I come home. Then in the morning, I pick them up again." "Funny thing is," he smiled, "when I come out in the morning to pick them up, there aren't nearly as many as I remember hanging up the night before." Some people use Jesus for their tree, and that works even better. Matthew 11:28-30. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light."
Thanks so much, Glenn. As always, outstanding. What a great reminder. I also want to remind every one of you to honor our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of the Rosary, today, and pray the Rosary for Life in this month of October with Father Rocky for the Family Rosary across America, with all your prayers and petitions at 7 p.m. Central tonight and every single night of the week here on Relevant Radio, the Relevant Radio app, and on your smart TV. I also want to remind you, you can listen to any one of our podcasts or any segment you want to share with others, just go to the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, producers Sarah Tafoya, Mariano Gomez, Gabby Burke, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow morning on the next Morning Air. Pray the Rosary today. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.